At least think they're right, no matter what.
The High Strange. Be sure to stop by
www.churchofmegasradio.com
for upcoming shows, paranormal news, and show archives. That's
www.churchofmegasradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news. But you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the new hard-hitting show, Knowledge of Spirit, where we seek to find the hidden truth. I'm your co-host, New York celebrity psychic Jesse Bravo, and with me is my co-host and UK's top psychic radio presenter, Alan Cox. But Alan is having all types of issues. If anybody listens out there, Alan's all the way from the UK. So, as you know, he's really far away in the pond. But that being said and done... Well, look, we just got Alan on the line. How's that happen? Alan, welcome to the show.
My Skype has gone down. You're phoning me on my mobile.
Well, we had to get you on the show one way or the other. You can't be a co-host without being on the show.
That's true. Isn't modern technology wonderful?
Welcome,
Alan, everybody.
Welcome. Welcome, everybody, and we have a great treat today. And the reason why I say treat is that when you think about pets, you think about treats that you give to dogs. And we have pet communicator and psychic, Shira. Now, I met Shira about a year and a half ago, possibly even two, who knows, maybe even three. My mind doesn't always work as well these days as I get older. But she has the wonderful ability of talking to people's pets. So for the people out there, out in the world, whether you're in the United States, whether you're in Australia, or you're out there really late over there in the UK, out there in Europe, India, Asia, China, Japan, South America, wherever you're listening to this, Canada, know that you can call in today on the number of 504-273-7379, and Shira will tell you about your pet, because if you really want to find out what your pet is thinking, Shira is the one that you need to speak to. Now, a couple of different plugs. Alan, as you know, we've been talking about this. We are launching a major magazine in July. Alan, I hope you agree with me. It's pretty exciting. Some of the people that we've already got as contributors...
It's going to be quite awe-inspiring, very, very interesting, well worth a read when it comes out.
Absolutely. Now, I want to tell everybody out there that you can go to our website of knowledgeofspirit.com, go to the contact box, give us your name and email, and we will send you a free copy every single month. And, Alan, I did say free.
Free. Not the number three.
Not the number three, but it's free. Yeah, exactly. And who could not deal with free? And we literally have right now 7 A-listers who are going to be contributors to the magazine to write out articles and stories every single month. We're going to have tarot card readers. We're going to have astrologers. We're going to have consciousness. We're going to have yoga. We're going to have everything that you can possibly imagine inside of this magazine, and we will send it to you free of charge so that you can read it. And that makes us really excited over here. And Alan, I've been putting this out there. I said, listen, we need to get to 3 million listeners out there. So get your friends, yes, get your family, get everybody to listen to the show, because we are where it's at. If it's a Friday night, you better be on Knowledge of Spirit Radio.
It is the most exciting radio show that's currently on the air. It's all new and it's all action.
And it's all real.
It's all real, yeah.
All real and all the time. Now, with that being said and done, I know she's been waiting in the wings, and once you start this woman talking, she won't stop. So, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce pet communicator and psychic Shira. Shira, how are you doing?
I'm great, Jesse. How are you? Hi, Alan. How are you?
Oh, hello, Shira.
Well,
I'm trying to get my Skype up and running. So if the sound isn't that good, it's because I'm talking on my cell phone.
Oh, you sound great.
You sound great. We're hearing you loud and clear.
Absolutely. That is so cool. So, you know, one of the things I always like to ask you is I always like to start in the beginning, right? You have this amazing ability. You have this gift, right? When did you finally, when you were young, start to understand that you had this gift?
Actually, I didn't start when I was young. My best friend told me that I was a psychic when I was 18 years old, and I told her that she was crazy. There's no way that I could possibly be a psychic. And then she started studying, and I started studying, and you could give me the initials of a person and their birthday, and I could tell you where the furniture was in their home. And then in 2002, I was watching Sonia Fitzpatrick on TV, and the dog that was talking to Sonia Fitzpatrick started to talk to me.
So and this I thought, was over TV?
Yes.
Wow.
I thought, how cool is this, that the dog on TV is talking to me? So now I was doing readings, psychic readings down in Nyack, New York, and there have it's like an antique village where people walk around with their dogs. So every time that I saw a person with a dog, I would say to them, oh, I can talk to your dog. Would you mind if I told you what your dog would like to tell you? And it was great. I was just meeting all these people and meeting their pets, and it was wonderful. And then one day, I went to a food store, and there was a dog in the car named Zoe. And Zoe said, would you wait for my mommy? I would really like to talk to her. And I said, okay. So here I am standing in the middle of a parking lot next to the car that has the dog in it, and the woman who didn't know me came over, and I said, oh, what's your dog's name? And she said, oh, my dog's name is Zoe. And I said, well, Zoe says that when she's at your house, she doesn't have to be on a run. Of course, you have a fence. She goes, oh, yes, that's right. And I said, and Zoe says that when she's at her other mother's house, she has to be on a leash because they don't have a fence. She says, oh, yes, that's my sister's house. I said, Zoe says that you have another dog and he's big. She says, oh, yes, that's my son's dog. I said, your son's dog is going to teach your son a level of love that he could never learn from another human being. She said, oh, my God. I said, oh, my God, what? She said her son and the dog, beige dog, were in a car accident, and the car flipped over 3 times, and the dog pulled the son out of the driver's side window.
Wow, that's almost like what was that old show with the collie?
Oh, Lassie.
Lassie, yeah. It was like a Lassie moment right there, right?
Yeah, that was, yeah, so I've just been really fortunate that I've gotten, I love to talk to all types of pets. I spoke to a bearded dragon. A bearded dragon. He is a lizard.
Okay. Not a real dragon, a lizard.
Yes, he's called the bearded dragon. I've spoken to snakes and horses. And I got to speak to the elephants at the Tampa Zoo.
Wow. Wow. So,
yes.
So let me ask you, these abilities come to you, or your understanding of your gifts start coming to you around 20 years old. Is that accurate?
Yes. I started to really start understanding and using my gifts as far as being a psychic and doing tarot cards and numerology in my 20s. But as far as learning that I could talk to pets, that was the year 2002.
All right, so let's stay right now still in the past. So here you are at 20 years old, right?
Yes.
Your friend is, when you said your friend was studying. Now, I only assumed, which is not always right, but I only assumed when you said that she started to sort of study more of the spiritual life or the occult. Is that more what she was studying, or was she studying school?
No, she was studying meditation under another psychic, because she's also psychic, but she does not do it professionally.
Okay. So your friend is now studying in school, and she's studying to be a psychic. Your friend's telling you you're a psychic. You didn't believe it, but it was starting to come. And at that point, you started to study with her?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Now that's amazing. And you guys, now were you doing readings together, or were you just doing readings by yourself?
We were doing readings by ourselves, and then one day a friend of mine said that she knew a restaurant owner who could use a psychic. I had never read professionally, and I went and I met him, and he owned a place called Enigma in Jersey, and I sat and I read, and I was charging, I think it was $10 per person, and I walked out of there with $200 in my pocket, and I thought, this is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, at 20-something years old, you made that in one night. That's like a jackpot.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, I can do this. This is nice.
Oh, yeah.
This is really nice.
And you were able to help people, too. That's what's even more important, right?
Well, absolutely. And then in 1998, I started having visions of Mother Mary, and then my business, my psychic business, really took off the ground as far as having a calling and a direction with the help that I give people through my readings now. Yes, absolutely.
What actually got you onto the path of doing the psychic pet side of it? Was it a natural progression that you just altered over, or was it something that happened that made it, that was your connection?
Well, having a write-up in the New York Times for pet communication really helped a lot to launch me. That really launched me. And what happened was people would call me about lost pets and I would be able to find them, or people would call me about an illness with a pet. And certainly when you have an illness with a pet, I'm no substitute for veterinarian care, though I was able to intuit what the problem was when veterinarians couldn't find out what the problem was. For example, this one woman called me and said that her dog was jumping off the couch and hitting his head on the floor. And they took the dog to the veterinarian, and they checked the skeletal system, they checked the skin, they checked everything, and they couldn't find the problem. And I asked the dog, and the dog said, "Tell mommy I'm having a problem with my left eye, I can't see. So when you only have one eye to work with, you can't see how far the floor is away, so you lose that depth perception." They took the dog to a dog ophthalmologist, the ophthalmologist fixed the dog's eye, and now the dog has new depth perception, and he's back to normal.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So do you find that now you get more people coming to you who've got a problem with their pet than us mere humans?
I find that I do more events with the pets, like pet expos, and I love to give back, so I do a lot of charity work for the pets with my pet communication. For example, I'm at the American Cancer Society Dog Walk in Riverside Park. In June 15th, I'm going to be in Manhattan at the Manhattan Toyota with the Maltese Rescue Puppy Prom. They're going to have them all dressed up in dresses and tuxedos, and they're going to have a puppy prom king and queen. So those type of events I'm more involved with. And as far as more humans versus more pets, I think I get just as much as one as I get of the other. I think the only difference is I get invited to more charitable events with the pets than there are for me to be involved with the humans.
So let me ask you, Shira, now Alan's a healer and a psychic. I'm a psychic and a medium. You're a psychic and a pet communicator. So we all have an idea of how each other's gifts works, but the people out there don't always have an understanding, and even psychic to psychic, we don't always have an understanding. Now, when you look, let's say, at someone's chihuahua, right, what happens? Walk us step by step what happens to you, the whole process, so that people out there understand what's going on in Shira's head.
Oh, good. Well, what I will tell you is that talking to pets is more difficult than being a psychic for me, because being a psychic and talking to a person, there's verbal communication through physically. With a pet, it's all done through what I consider telepathy. So as soon as I hear the pet's name, the pet starts talking, and I hear it, Jesse, just the way you're talking to me. I hear it just the same way as if I'm hearing it that way. And the only difference is that usually they're very animated, and usually they have their own little personalities that come through. So if you have four different dogs, each dog will come through with their own little personality and what they think about themselves and what they think about the relationship between them and the other pets and what they think about their relationship between them and their parents as well, not owners, because they don't consider them my owner. They say my mommy and my daddy. They don't say my owner.
Okay.
And I've also found that when there is more than one pet, there is also always the leader and the follower. And the leader, if there are two dogs and one is a Doberman Pinscher and the other one is Shih Tzu, the Shih Tzu will always be the boss, because if the larger dog was the boss, the smaller dog would be dinner. So the smaller dog needs to be assertive so that the larger dog will not overpower the smaller dog.
Okay, so pack. So in a way, like a pack leader, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So we all know that dogs are pack animals, and they're always going to follow the pack leader. That I do know. Let me ask you, from your experience of all of the readings that you've done with pets, what's the biggest gripe dogs have with their owners?
That they don't show off how intelligent the dog is, and they would like to learn how to do more tricks so they get more food and more attention.
That's all what it comes down to, food?
That's all. Food and attention. And the other is not so much a gripe, but If the owner is going away, the dog would like to know who's going to come in and watch me, or where am I going to go, and can you tell me a week to 2 weeks in advance so that I could feel prepared?
So here, I'm going to throw you for a little loop here, because it just hit me while I'm talking to my guides, and let's see what this happens. Now, when you speak to a human, the human has a soul, right? And in that soul,
okay,
we have a spirit that operates within our body. And within
okay,
that spirit, you and I communicate on a psychic or medium level, right?
Okay, I'm going to follow this. Go ahead.
All right. Now, when you speak to a dog, does a dog have a spirit? Does a dog have a soul?
Oh, absolutely, because when a dog passes, I can also talk to the dog or pet that has passed over. So the dog in heaven can talk to me as well. So absolutely the dog has a soul.
And does the dog have reincarnation?
That I don't know about, because I've never... If a dog does is reincarnated, I don't know about it. But what I will tell you, which is very interesting, is a lot of times the dog that is living can see the dog that's passed on the other side.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to do this on live radio, but can you call me back on my American number, please, Jesse? I've just called you off my mobile. Call me on that, please. I'm sorry about this. I thought this is live radio and my connection's down. If you could call me on there, I can listen in again and talk hopefully.
Sure. We're having obviously some technical difficulties, as you could see, with Alan, and that's what happens when you're 8,000 miles away. It's what happens, but... give us 2 seconds here to get Alan back up and running. Sorry about this, Shira.
No worries at all.
We're going to get him back up. Let's see if we could do this here. Okay. Let's see if we can try to get this working. I don't think it's possible. What do you think? You're a psychic. What's your prediction here?
Good luck.
Good luck, huh? 9268. Okay. That's what I say.
That's the astrologer. There's something going on astrologically that's making all the equipment go down, because a lot of people are having computer issues and cell phone issues and phone issues. And I think it might be something astrologically, but I'm not an astrologist. I'm not really sure, but I have heard rumors about that.
Now, I heard Alan on the line. Alan, are you back on?
I am, yes.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
It must be a little bit choppy over the Atlantic at the moment.
Well, that's what I was hearing, on and off and on and off and on and off. To me, that still says not so much.
So, Shira, you were telling us, you know, the interesting thing that dogs can see previous dogs.
Yes, dogs can see their owner's pets who have passed over to the other side. And the dogs will also tell me, when I speak to a pet who's passed, a dog, for instance, a dog will tell me who took the dog home to heaven. And I think that's very interesting. Usually a person on the other side comes down and takes a pet to heaven, which I thought was also beautiful.
So it's almost like pets have their own guides, in a sense, of coming to comfort them and take them back.
Well, usually it's a family member from the owner that comes down to take the pet home. And
that's,
then the pet stays with that person.
Wow, that's...
Do you see, Shira, that animals, pets, can, in a previous life, cross from one species to another? In other words, could they have been human in a previous life, or could a dog been a cat? Or do you see that each particular line of animal or pet just carries on in that one way?
I only see the pets from this lifetime. I only see them in context with their owner in this lifetime. I don't see them in past lives or future lives. With people, when I do a session, I can see what their past lives were. With pets, I never see that at all. I've never seen the reincarnation or the past life of a pet. Though people have told me that other people have told them that they may have been with a pet in another lifetime, I myself have never seen that.
That's very weird.
Because you get some that are somewhat like their owners.
And some dogs especially can almost act as if almost like a human trait to them, and some can be quite very intelligent.
I'm not hearing all of your conversation. I'm sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Check that. It's right. I've gone back onto Skype. I can see what this show is going to be like. I'm going to be going on and off all the way through.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I said. On and off and on and off.
So I apologize. I'm very sorry it's like this, but out of my control, unfortunately.
No worries. This is all good. I feel blessed that you've invited me to be a guest.
Absolutely.
Jesse, if I go off again, would you call me again, please?
I wasn't even able to call you the first time. I don't even know how you got in.
All right, okay.
I'm completely helpless on this side.
Now, what I mean is call my American number again.
They didn't let me call at all. That's what I was trying to tell you before is we weren't able to call you at all. I don't know how you got into the queue, but I guess Joe just put you in. So that's how it happened. I can't make any phone calls from here.
Well, first of all, Jesse, I want to apologize to you and to Shira.
Don't worry about it. Problems. This is the way
it works. This is fine. I just missed the question, that's all.
It's just that, especially dogs can be, some dogs can be more intelligent than other dogs. And you see these films on the TV and that about dogs almost doing things like us humans do. And it just seems that, could it be that that animal has lived before but as a human?
Well, I don't necessarily think they were human, but what I will tell you is that some pets are brought to their owner through spirit. So sometimes a pet is brought to their owner by someone on the other side who brings the pet to them, or the pet that is passed has brought them a new pet. So in that regard, I can see how the different matches of owners and dogs or owners and a pet get together, and I've seen that. As far as a reincarnation of a pet, I have never, like I said, in my experience, I am shown what the relationship is and what the pet wants to tell their parents now. I'm not known that in what I do.
Right, okay.
I'm more, for example, a woman called me and told me that her dog was lost in Ecuador. And in Ecuador, they don't have an ASPCA. They don't have dog licenses. They don't have anything like that. Well, the dog told me that he was in the back of the truck and he got off at the bumpy road and he's with the lady in the White House. And would his mother please go and put up signs around that White House so that the woman in the White House can see the signs and know who he belongs to. So the woman went back. It was actually a bumpy road that turned into the paved road. At the point that the bumpy road was, there was a White House. The woman put up a poster of the dog. The woman in the White House saw the poster, called the woman. The woman got the dog.
Wow.
So I am more into what's going on today with the pet and the relationship with the pet and talking to pets on the other side so that the parents have path closure. Sometimes a person will call me and they had to put their pet to sleep and they're so upset and they want to know if they did the right thing. And it's my firm belief that whether a pet passes or dies on their own or is assisted with a veterinarian and put down, your pet has died on his or her rightful day. And it really gives people great comfort to hear from the pets on the other side. One woman said that she went to a bereavement for pets, and they wanted to talk about her dog. And she said the reason why she went to me was because she didn't want to talk about her dog. She wanted to talk to her dog.
Mm. So are you actually able to do that? Like, you know, as mediums, mediums speak to spirits, people who have obviously gone back to spirit, right? So
yes.
Are you able to have an appointment with a client that comes in and says, yes, my pet poodle Fifi has died 3 years ago. I want to talk to my poodle. And you can do that?
Yes, and Fifi would go, oh, I'm so happy to talk to mommy. I've been waiting. Like that.
Wow, that's so interesting, which is kind of weird. Now it leads up to the next question, because you said that, you know, some of the dogs told you that a family member brought them up to heaven.
Yes.
So if you're talking to a dog's spirit, where's the dog's spirit then? Is it in heaven?
Yes, it's in heaven. They could talk, just like if you're a medium and you talk to a person who's in heaven, certainly you could talk to the dog in heaven. Why not?
Okay. I had to ask the question because it sort of popped in my mind to say, okay, let's see if the rules apply across the board, because they don't always do.
No, they don't. I think it really depends on what you are meant to be doing here, because there are different psychics and different mediums and different healers, and yet we get to do all different things that are very helpful in our own unique way.
Oh, that's true.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
We all have our own different connection and meant to help people in different ways, aren't we, Shira? So,
yes, and different people are brought to different people because of the connection that the universe, like if the universe wants somebody to be healed through Alan, then they'll bring that person through because Alan's the one that it's going to be good for them to be healed by.
Yeah.
So it's in my opinion, and I think it's just lovely that you're opening up the channels for all different people to come through to really empower other people. I see this as a way not only of talking to a pet and very entertaining, but I also feel it as very empowering to people to know that their pet is okay, to know that they're doing the right thing. When a pet is lost and they find the pet, one woman sends her dog to the babysitter The babysitter didn't put on the collar tight enough, and the dog got out of the collar and ran away. And she said, where's my Spanky? And Spanky said, tell Mommy I'm by the beige condominiums. Don't come and get me today. I'm having too much of a good time. Come and get me tomorrow, and don't forget the chicken because I'll be hungry by then. So the woman went to the beige condominiums, and she said, Spanky, 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 where are you? No Spanky. She went back, and she got chicken nuggets, and she started just putting them out as she was walking, and there behind her was her little Spanky.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, for those people out there, I mean, Shira, for people to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go on my website to www.shirasplace.com. Or they can also call me directly at 845-623-0880. I also have a pet question and answer column in the New Jersey Herald. So if they go to njherald.com/askshira, they can send their questions into the newspaper, and hopefully I'll be able to answer some of their questions that way as well.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That's really awesome.
I'm sorry that I'm not saying a lot. My connection, my end is terrible, and I'm only catching every other word, so my apologies to everybody.
Well, it's okay. You know, listen, it's technology is going to be technology. But as they say in the world, the show must go on. Is that correct, Shira?
Isn't that the truth? And we have we were just talking about chihuahuas. Can we talk about those chihuahuas again? That was so much fun.
Well, we got to wait for our appropriate time when the chihuahuas will come back.
Okay, that's lovely. And so I'll tell you a couple more stories about the pets, or if you have a pet that you would like to know about, please feel free to ask me, or if we have a caller as well.
Yeah, I'll put the number out there and see if we get anybody caller in the queue. Call 504- 273-7379. Now, according to what we heard, Shira can find lost dogs, right?
You
can help diagnose any problems that may be going on with the dog, including mental and physical problems, correct?
Yes.
And so if you're out there, come out there and call up the queue, and we'll hook you up, and you'll find out what your pet really thinks about you. And, you know, Shira, it's kind of funny. Today I was watching the Pet Whisperer, the Dog Whisperer, right?
Yes.
What an amazing show, because, you know, when you look at that guy, he almost acts like the dog. So my question is because when he's working with dogs, he sort of has to become one of the animals. When you work with pets, do you also take on their personalities?
Take on their personalities. I hear their personalities, and that's how I translate it. I don't take on their personalities, no. I think that the dog whisperer has his own way of how he communicates, and how I communicate is the dog just talks to me. So I don't really know how he intuits, whether he hears the pet or how he intuits. All I know is that as soon as I mention the pet's name, the pet will start to talk to me. And they do it through telepathy, which is I hear their thoughts as words.
As words. Okay. Now,
yes,
I know for sure that the dog whisperer is not a psychic. He is actually a behavioral person that knows the dog's behavior. So it's two different methods. But would you be able to go in those situations that he goes into and be able to fix the dog the way he does?
Well, I wouldn't say that I would go into the same situations because I really don't know what his situations are. What I can tell you is that I have had situations where dogs were aggressive or dogs were passive aggressive, and what I heard psychically is that a couple of dogs were taken away from their mother too early and they didn't have that bonding. And then with a breed that's naturally aggressive, for example, a pit bull or like a Doberman or even a Rottweiler sometimes, those dogs, if you don't want them to be aggressive, then don't ask them to be a watchdog because they can't turn on and off. And so if you say, oh, you're a watchdog, and then you say, oh, well, he's barking all the time. He doesn't know when to bark and when not to bark. So if you tell him that you're the protector and you're going to protect him and you're going to love him or her, then they will look to the person to be protected instead of always on 24/7, always on 24/7, always, you know, they don't turn off. Once they think that they're on, they don't have an on and off button. So if you ask them to bark, they're going to bark. If you say you don't have to bark, then they won't feel like they always have to bark. Because they can't turn it on and off. So in that regard, and also I think that if you have a dog that has a very strong personality, you would want to go outside when you walk the dog and every five paces have the dog sit down and give him a little bit of a taste of a treat in every five paces so that the dog really finds a new rhythm with you. And he's not always on. So in that regard, yes. And then sometimes you can use obedience training if a dog is chewing on something that you don't want him or her to chew on. Then you would use obedience training as far as a leave it command and as far as sometimes the dog wants to be in the crate. Like when I first talked to dogs and I saw them in the crate on the human side, I was like, oh, the dog doesn't want to be in the crate. But when I asked the dog says, oh, yeah, that's my safe place.
Mm.
So who am I to argue with the dog?
You know, I no one to argue with, I guess. You know, it's just very interesting, you know, when you deal with these cases with, you know, the pets and their owners. Is it mostly always an owner problem, or is it also a dog problem? What do you think it is?
I think it's always a dog problem that the owner can solve.
So,
I think that because if a dog dog is natural. For example, if you want a family dog that's a beagle, you're going to have a different temperament with a pit bull.
What about the dogs? I'm sorry, Sue.
Excuse me?
About the dogs? The dogs that attack other people. There was an instance over here only a week ago where a man was in his own garden and he was attacked and killed by a neighbour's dog. And there's been instances where children have been attacked by the family, so-called family.
Now, this is my error, because I told you something incorrect. There are dogs that are taught by people to be aggressive. And in that regard, then it's a person's, for lack of a better word, fault. But I don't think that people generally, when they get a dog, if they have a dog that's had problems, I don't necessarily think that the person that now has the dog is to blame. Because, for example, if you have an Australian Shepherd, which is a very, very, very high-energy dog, and you don't have the time or you don't want to be outdoors with the dog, that dog is going to find something else to get into because it's so high energy and so smart that he needs something to get himself into. But if you have, for example, a beagle who just wants to follow you around the house and wants to love you and all it wants to do is love you, you're going to have a different type of dog than if you have an Australian Shepherd. So sometimes it's a breed. As far as a dog mauling or killing a person,
mm-hmm.
Well, psychically I get that maybe down the line the dog has been inbred through the line too much, that maybe it came down through the line if it was too many of the same breed or breeding the same dogs over and over again, there could have been a problem that way. Unless I know, it's almost like if you tell me, well, all people who have blue eyes are like this, I don't think that every dog that has a problem necessarily comes from the same problem. I would have to ask the dog that was involved what happened, because I just won't want to see anything like that happen to a person. I won't be able to say it in a general sense, because I don't think that there is a general, and I don't think that a natural behavior is to want to hurt. But I do think that there are certain dogs, when they get it in their mind that I'm going to go after this thing. Like, for example, a couple of dogs have told me when they bit somebody on the hand, oh, I didn't know it was a hand. I thought it was a toy. And then when the hand came in, I thought it was a toy. I didn't see it was a hand. I'm really sorry. I've handled that. I've heard about that. I haven't had anybody who actually called me to tell me that a dog had killed or mauled someone. So I would only address that, I think, if I really knew the circumstance or the dog or who the dog was, versus to make a generalization about it.
Let me ask you, Sharon, do you believe dogs have willpower?
Do I believe dogs have what?
Willpower, like, you know, they have choice. Do they have a will?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Do they use it? Not so much. Have you ever seen dog pull a person on the other end of the leash? That's willpower.
Okay.
But I don't think that, like, a human being, okay, this is the difference. A dog is an emotional two-year-old, where the dog says, yes, I'd like to eat that. No, I wouldn't like to eat that. That's disgusting. Where a person can think it out through certain steps. Well, if I do that, I know this is something bad's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the dog is that well thought out.
So they have very limited capabilities in thinking. They obviously can't think out the entire rationality of an action.
Absolutely. Like, just knows, oh, I did that, and then we'll look up and feel really bad. Have you ever seen, like, the dog do something, go, oh, that? But it's always after the fact. It's never before.
Mm-hmm. What about when you get somebody who's got four or five dogs, or shall we say a couple of dogs and three cats? Is their behaviour affected by that, or is it down to the individual dog or cat? Because in some families, houses, they seem to get on really well together. And then in others, it's like vying for position. Would that make sense, Shira?
Yes. Sometimes I'll talk to a dog, and then I'll talk to the cat in the same family, and the cat will tell me, there's no dog here, there's only me. So the cat has already decided that the dog is almost non-existent.
Right, and okay.
Yes. Like, oh, there's no dog. There's only me. And
Sometimes
the person will ask me that they want the cat to stop pawing at the dog. And the cat will say, well, if the dog didn't put his face in near me, because the dog's head is a lot bigger than the cat most of the time. I would not have hit him with my paw. The other thing is that I learned is that cats also tell me to tell their parents, well, I hit the dog with my paw, but I didn't hit him with my nails because I love him. So cats in particular, when they love the dog, will swat him, but they won't use their nails to draw blood from him.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's just a love tap, the cat says. I just hit him. It wasn't a big deal.
Because I'm sure you have those programs over here that show you clips. Was it Animals Do the Funniest Things?
Yes.
And you see some quite remarkable things captured on camera. You know, dogs, cats loving dogs, and even things like mice, a mouse being loved by a cat. Have you any explanation to why that can happen?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact, because with especially if you bring in, let's say, a pup, dog and a kitten, the dog doesn't feel any threat by the kitten, so the dog says, oh, you're just a new member of our family. If my mommy loves you, I'll love you. If you bring in an adult cat into the situation, the adult cat is going to vie for a position. The baby cat, the kitten, doesn't have a sensibility of vying for a position. It's just coming in as a new baby. So that's number one. The second is, especially with a snake and a mouse, just the way you and I can communicate, a mouse and a snake or a cat and a dog, they can communicate as well. And a lot of the times, especially with a snake, if they're put into a new environment and the mouse is smart and the mouse says, oh, I'm really glad you're here. I'm glad I'm not the only one here. And the mouse is very smart and will make the snake feel comfortable, so that the snake doesn't see this as an edible rodent. He sees the mouse now as his friend and the other mice as edible rodents.
Oh, I see.
Now, you think that happens in the wild, too? How does it happen in the wild? I mean, I got to believe a snake in the wild, when it sees a mouse, doesn't say, hey, let's be friends.
No, I think that in the wild, it's very different. I think in the wild, it would be easier for maybe a bird, that's hurt, and a bear to be friends versus a snake and a mouse, because I think in the wild, the snake isn't being fed. In the wild, the snake sees a mouse as prey for food. But in the captive state, he knows that he's going to be fed. So it's a very different mentality for some for a pet that's tame versus an animal in the wild. I think it's very different. I think that if you are in a sanctuary, you may see, oh, someone saved my life. I know that this mouse is here because in the snake's mind, oh, their life has been saved here too. I don't necessarily think it works the same way in the wild. At least that's not how I'm hearing it. When I hear it out in the wild, I hear it as a preserve that somebody saved the snake's life versus out in the wild seeing something for prey.
So basically, animals like a snake, they've got the ability to reason, to think, to distinguish.
Absolutely, because when I spoke to one snake, the snake said, I had eggs and we're going to see if we had babies. And the owner wanted to know if the snake was going to have more eggs. And the snake said, well, I don't know if I'm going to have more eggs, but I would like to have more eggs. And even with dogs, they'll ask, would you like to get pregnant if they are breeding the dog? And some dogs really want to get pregnant and have puppies. And the other dog's like, no, thank you. I'm not really the best mother in the world. So why would you want to do that with me when if I had puppies, you'd be the one that would be taking care of them, not me.
Have you worked with horses, Shira?
I love working with horses. I absolutely love working with horses. As a matter of fact, there was a horse named Buddy, and I called the farm, and Buddy says, tell my mommy I'm blonde. And Buddy's mommy says, you're not blonde, you're brown. He goes, my skin is brown, but my hair is blonde. And if you saw a picture of Buddy, you would sure see that his hair is blonde and his skin is brown.
Today, actually, where I went to do a spiritual clearing, I've got the stables and there's five horses there. And I love working with horses. I love healing horses and communicating with them myself. And the one horse is right at the back of her stable. And she came, put her head around and put her head against the side of my face and as if to say, you know, it's good to have you here. So I can relate to the horse very much so.
Yes, but she wants to know if next time you'll bring snacks with you.
Yes, yes, fair enough.
She says, you didn't bring snacks this time. Why?
Yes, it's fair comment.
Yes, right, she says she likes the peppermint.
We have a caller in the queue, okay? So sure, hold on 1 second. We have Stephanie in. So let's see if we can get Stephanie in. Hold on 1 second. I think Joe's going to be putting us into a break pretty soon.
Break.
Actually.
Yeah, he actually said there's only a minute to go.
Yeah, I think Joe will be putting us into break. So, guys out there, Shira, hold on 1 second. When we come back, we'll get Stephanie into the queue here to speak to you about her two dogs. Okay.
Great.
And let me just pay the bills and do the promos here. You're listening to 107.7 FM New Orleans, and you're listening right now to Knowledge of Spirit Radio. And we have today, once again, pet communicator and psychic, Shira, from New York in Shira's Place. And just want to remind you guys out there that you can call into the queue. We'll put you in. You get to speak to Shira yourself. And go out there on knowledgeofspirit.com, register for the magazine, find us on our Facebook of Knowledge of Spirit Radio. You can find us. We also put a competition in that anybody who applies at the end of the month, we're going to pick out two lucky listeners and we're going to give a reading to. Me and Alan are going to give a psychic reading to. So,
and I'll make sure the connection's properly so everybody so they can hear me.
Alan will have 55 carrier pigeons at his disposal.
That's
just
right.
In case it doesn't work.
Right.
To go back and forth with the homing pigeons. And we'll get to give you guys a psychic reading. And like I said before, we're looking to get up to almost 3 million listeners here to get everything going here, and getting all types of stuff going on in my and somebody else's. It's funny. So for us here, call us up. Check us out on our Facebook, on our Twitter. You can check us out on YouTube, on Knowledge of Spirit. Everywhere that you could possibly imagine, you can find us.
You're going Alan, well there, Jesse. You're going well there, Jesse. We're waiting for Joe to say, come on, have the break. But you ad-libbed well there, Jesse.
Where is Joe? Did Joe just say something?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. This is the funniest thing in the world.
Thank you. Cemetery with your hosts, Chip and Nicole, every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway, mindcemetery.com.
If you are listening to the show and wish to join us in the chat room, visit paltalk.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, this is Angela Thomas with a message about living life to the fullest. As a psychic clairvoyant, I often give insights to one's career path, financial situation, or relationship. Whether one is happy or not in their current situation, where he or she is right now is an important part of learning valuable lessons that can lead to fulfilling one's life purpose. If I can offer you insights, feel free to contact me at 636-278-2272. Again, 636-278-2272, or visit my website, angelathomas.org. I'm considered a psychic, so I provide accurate and detailed psychic readings for individuals as well as groups. Remember, no matter what influences your life at the moment, live life to the fullest. Stay in gratitude, count your blessings, and prepare yourself for more opportunities around the corner. I'm Psychic Angela Thomas, and my website is angelathomas.org.
Hey everybody, this is Erica Getch, and I want to keep you connected every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Galactic Connection. As always, I'll be taking your calls in the second hour, and as always, TGC is glad to be a part of the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, so please check out tgcradio.com. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Whoa! Did you hear?
Listen to the Church of Mavis radio show, hosted by Jeffrey Pritchett, 11 p.m. Eastern, Saturday nights. Follow your weird and journey into the high strange. Be sure to stop by
www.churchofmavisradio.com
for upcoming shows, paranormal news, and show archives. That's
www.churchofmavisradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
welcome back to Knowledge of Spirit. And I don't know whether Jesse is back with us and joined us or not, but this is Alan Cox, co-host of Knowledge of Spirit Radio. And I'm over here in England, and it's 1:15 in the morning. Oh, and you are there, Jesse.
Oh, I'm here.
And I'm here.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Everyone's here right now. And a couple little things really quick. I mentioned before we're going to be launching our new magazine. Magazine will be coming out free of charge in July. Go to knowledgeofspirit.com, sign up in the contact area, and we will be sending you out free copies every single month. We now have 7 major A-lister contributors that will be writing everything from tarot cards to astrology to vegan to psychic. You can everything that you could possibly imagine, we're going to try to fit in as much as we can get in there. And we're going to be putting it out to you for free, which is really awesome. We're trying to get into the 3 million number mark for listeners. That's our goal for the rest of the year. And we're not going to be too far away from it very shortly. And we're definitely on our way, but not there yet. And also find us on Facebook on our fan page, Knowledge of Spirit. Find us also on Twitter of Knowledge of Spirit. And everything's there available on the website that you can imagine, everything that's free. With that, once again, we have Shira, the pet communicator and psychic. I met Shira when we were going to do an ABC special, and I'm not going to get into all of the details. And Shira, we definitely don't want to get into that. But it was a long time ago, and you know what? She talked about this pet communication. Everybody here pretty much on the show is a psychic, so it intrigued the hell out of me because I've looked at squirrels before. They never said anything to me. But that's not what happened for sure.
I just want to say something. On the break, I was talking with Shira, and you were telling me, Shira, about what the horses had to say about the healing today. And you picked up on quite a few different horses. And it was quite remarkable because, yes, there was 3 from today, but there was others that I helped almost 5 years ago. And I remember it very clearly. And you picked up the problem, even the colour of the horse and everything. And I found that quite remarkable, Shira.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to talk to the horses. They absolutely love you. But the one that saw you today says, please don't forget to bring them into the carriage next time.
Okay, I will.
Well, listen, now that she's hot and ready, and well, now that she's hot to trot, no pun intended for the horses, we have Stephanie on the line who's looking to talk to Shira. Stephanie has 2 large dogs. So I'd like to introduce Stephanie. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the save, Stephanie.
I'm no stranger to the network. As everyone probably knows who's listening to my voice, I co-host with Joe Montaldo, and who's on the flip side, as well as had many other shows on this network. And in particular, I have 2 big golden retrievers for about 8 years. I've had them since they've been 2 months old. And I'm kind of curious what you can pick up on that.
Okay, what are their names, please?
They're the brother and sister, or what have you, in whatever litter, Amber and Alex.
Oh, Amber says, I am as stunning as the day is long. Stunning. And Mommy has pictures in which I'm smiling. You could see my teeth where I'm smiling.
Yeah, Amber.
Amber says she wants to know if we're going to go away soon. Are we going to go away soon, Mommy? Are we going to go away? She wants to know. We're going to go away soon. She likes the water and can't wait to be around the water.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I live a block from the beach, and I have taken that. I always took them in the ocean since they've been months old, and they're big swimmers, and they go to the ocean all the time. And then recently, Hurricane Sandy stopped all this stuff because...
Oh!
Right,
no wonder she's asking.
Yeah, I could believe that, actually, because Amber's a big swimmer. She's also... She's the epitome of retrieving, like, whereas she goes, and if you throw a stick in the ocean, she goes, gets
she'll
it,
come and
it
get
back.
It and bring it back.
Right.
She could actually, if God forbid something happened and someone was stuck in the water, Amber, not Alex, would go after them to come and get them. And she would go, would you hold on to my collar? I'll bring you back, and you'll be okay.
All right, interestingly that you say that. Why is it not Alex?
Because Alex is really about himself.
Oh.
It's all about me. It's all about me. Oh, you're going to go in the water and drown? Well, okay, I'll wait here.
Oh, my God.
Where Amber's
that's
like,
so true.
Oh, God, you're drowning. I'll be right there with you.
I have to credit you in that because that's very true. Alex is like, love me, want me, but I'm not going there. You're right.
Absolutely. I'm going to get wet for you. Amber wants to know why we stopped running. Is there a problem?
Mommy,
why
of...
did we stop? She likes to run. She felt like you and she were running together, or that someone was running with her, like almost like a jog.
Yeah, her and I would jog on the boardwalk, and Alex couldn't keep up, so we stopped doing it.
Yes, well,
I can't
she
walk
says, well, then
big
we...
dogs like this.
No, Amber says we could just leave him home.
Interesting.
Amber says he doesn't want to go anyway, except Alex says if we're going to go in the car, I'll go. Alex says, like, we're going in the car. If we're going in the car, I'll go.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Alex says, Mommy says, don't put your nose up against the glass because it makes marks. But by the time I look out, my nose is already touching the glass. You look up, you look down, you look left, you look right, it's marked.
I have to commend you because this is all really true stuff.
Alex says that he likes the color blue, but if you want to put him in red, orange, yellow, green, whatever, that's fine. But he really likes blue.
I have no clue about what color he likes. But let me ask you something. All right, so I have these two dogs. And
oh, wait. Which, I don't know which one is talking because they're talking at the same time, but you'll know which one. And I think it might be Amber, but if it's Alex, I apologize because they're talking over each other. Please stop feeling the lumps and bumps. Everything is fine. The doctor said everything is fine, so stop feeling on my side already.
Oh, that's Alex.
Oh. Alex says that the doctor says as long as I'm not chewing on it, we shouldn't be looking, but Mommy still looks and checks. I don't understand why. Please stop. It's annoying.
Yeah, I have to listen. I know how crazy this is. And anyone who knows me would be like, oh, this person would call them out. And I have to tell you, I would. And there's some obsession that I have with feeling these little bumps on the side of him. And he keeps looking at me. No, but... All right, so
and it's on his right side. Wait, it's on
yes,
his right side, not
yes,
his left side. On
yes,
my right side.
Oh, my God. All right, let me put this out there to the listeners because everyone knows me. They know also I'm not full of BS, and I would actually call it out or disagree if I needed to. This dog has these little bumps on his side, and I'm always concerned with them, and I pet him and I speak to him about them, and he keeps looking at me like, what are you worried about? But I am worried about it, so that's very true.
Amber wants to know if you're going to get her more things with paw prints on it. She loves the stuff with the paw prints.
Amber just received a ball. It says Chew Me, and it has all sorts of paw prints on it. So
and she also says that she wants the ball back with the paw prints or her name. Why is it gone?
Oh, my God. You know, these dogs are expensive. I have to tell you guys, I spent $1,000 on each dog. I mean, really, they're expensive dogs to begin with. I have no time for this. She wants something with paw prints? Give me a break.
Yes, and also she says that she saw the collar with the sparklies with her name on it, but Mommy said I couldn't get it because they wouldn't see it underneath my hair. But she would like it anyway.
All right, so I have a question for you. Regardless, mm-hmm. Forget it. My dogs have the most expensive. They have Gucci, like, collars. And no, really, like, I'm over the top when it comes to my dogs. I love them.
Well, she says that the Sparklies are Juicy Couture.
Yeah, frick her. So, all right. So, here's what I'm curious about. I had them since they've been 2 months old, and they're from the same litter, and they have totally different personalities, dynamics. Like, the whole thing is different. And I have different relationships with each dog. And I always wonder, what is one thinking against the other? Because what's important to one is not important to the other. So is anyone jealous? I guess that's the question.
No. The thing is that Amber is the people pleaser of the bunch. Where are you going? Can I go too? We're going to go. Where Alex has been, quote unquote, babied. Oh, you're so handsome. Oh, you're so good. He says, I don't have to do anything to get attention. I just lie here. And when I pull my stomach up and so you could scratch it, you lean over, you scratch my stomach. He says, I'm a dog. What do I care?
Yeah.
Where Amber.
God, I have to tell you.
But Amber is like your little girl. He's like, oh, Mommy, yes, we do need to do this. You're like, Amber, should we do this? Alex, just do what you want. I don't need to be involved.
I have to tell you, you're dead on accurate. Amber is the attention getter. She is the most intelligent. And Alex just goes, I'm so cute. Everybody comes to me. And
yeah.
That is so true. It's almost, and here's what I find interesting about what you just said, just so you know. You use the word, he's so handsome, whatever. And I've been saying for the past, I don't know, 3-4 years, I call him handsome boy. And that is my phrase for him because he is, and I feel that way. And I'm like, oh, handsome boy, come over here. So handsome is the word you chose, and I find that interesting.
And Amber says that Mommy says you're mini-me. Like, you're just like me. We're just alike. Mini-me. And what's interesting is that I don't know who it is because they're both talking at the same time, like talking above each other. But one of them says if my face wasn't getting whiter, you would think that I was only 4 years old.
Oh, my God.
And one of them is getting the white muzzle. The other one, it hasn't turned white at all yet.
No, but look at my Facebook page. My girl, Amber, is whiter than anything you've ever seen. And it happened in the past couple of years in extreme that he looks so much younger. And when people look at these two dogs, they go, oh, she's the old dog. And I'm like, no, they're the same age. Her face is getting whiter and whiter and whiter by the day.
Yeah, so if there's any jealousy, it's because she's looking older versus anything else. But she also wants to know, when the food drops to the floor, can you please tell Alex that it's mine, not his?
Oh, my God.
And also, when I'm lying down,
this
Amber says
good,
and he's.
People.
when
I have to tell you. I'm sorry. Let me stop this.
When Amber is lying down, she wants to know if and Alex is running. If he would not step on me, it's not nice, Mommy.
I want to speak. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Steph. Go ahead. Give Stephanie a couple of seconds to talk about her reaction to what's going on, because I think it's an overwhelming.
Yeah.
No, but I have to admit, look, I'm the first person to say this is full of BS or whatever. And anyone who knows me knows that as well. However, the whole food thing is really interesting because there's like some dynamics between these two dogs. Now, anyone who has multiple dogs knows this, and you put down the food, and Amber does this little thing that she drops food outside her bowl, and she's picky and pathetic and whatever. And Alex looks at that food like he's ready to pounce on it. And I look at him and I say, no, don't go there. And Amber looks at him and then looks at me and she's like, help me, you know, like it's my food. And it's really weird. So I have to say, I agree with you, lady.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
you're welcome.
That is so cool. That is, you know,
incredible.
You know what?
I have to admit it is incredible because what the hell would she know about my food and dog habits? So what I'd like to ask is, Amber eats one little giblet at a time. Why?
Her bowl is a little too deep. And what happens is that she's afraid that if she eats everything at once, she's going to breathe it in and she's going to choke on it versus if she eats one at a time, she can feel it in her mouth and where it is, so she'll chew it and she'll swallow. Where if she takes it all in at once, she feels that it's going to be too much for her. I also feel that they may have put her on dry dog food too soon, and she just wasn't equipped to handle it.
Well, I would have been the person, but I mean, at 8 weeks old, dogs eat dry dog food, so.
Guilty
of charge. Think that she learned to do this early on. I feel like maybe when she was very, very young, like maybe 4 weeks old, she was on the dry food and she just didn't have a sensibility for it. She may have gone from the mother's milk to hard food, and so she's still handling it as though she's a puppy. And I'm going to ask her. Oh, she goes, both of us are wrong. She says the reason why she does it is because some of it, they're different flavors, and some she likes better than others. She feels it in her mouth, and if it tastes good, she chomps on it. If not, she puts it on the outside of the bowl. This way, she eats her favorite first, and then if Mr. Pig doesn't come along, the others that she's not so interested in, when all the good stuff is done, she will then eat the other stuff. But she likes to eat the good stuff first.
This woman's good. This woman's good. No, really. No, this is actually describing exactly what I deal with. And here's why. I've noticed I put down food that has different flavors. There's like beneficial whatever. And there's different colors or whatever. She leaves.
She likes the orange best.
Yes, she does.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Stephanie, what you need to do when you get off air, right, is to go around your home and try and find the hidden cameras.
No, I have to tell you.
I want to tell you, we have another caller in the queue, too, by the way. And Stephanie, stay around, okay? I want you just to stay around because I want as many people as we can on air so that everybody can hear. And we have on air Erica, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Stephanie,
thank you.
Hi, Erica. How's everything going?
Hi. I don't know how much information to give in regards because I gave you an instant message about that. It's nice to meet you. Is it Shira?
Yes.
Nice
to meet you too, Erica.
I'm a major dog lover too, and I'm trying not to get. I don't know how much information I should give, but I guess I'll just go ahead and I had two dogs, and at 10 years old, just a couple months ago, my little boy got, he was battling cancer for 2 years, and he finally had, passed away. And now I have my other 10-year-old girl, and I was just kind of wondering if you could pick anything up about her, because we take her everywhere, and we always take it to the dog park, and I even thought about getting another animal and just things like that, to try to, because she's only known that when she grew up, she was a puppy and Sebastian was 6 months old. So I just want her mental health, and her not to like, I'm just wondering if she's missing, if she understands where Sebastian is, because she was in the office when he had to be put down because he basically had a tumor that was wrapped around his heart. It burst, and it was filling his lungs up so much that there was no other choice, you know. And so she was there because I wanted to make sure she knew what was going on. And I'm just worried about her, you know, in general.
And what's her name?
Her name is Cheyenne.
And his name was Sebastian, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Sebastian says the doctors did all they could to save me, and the last time that I went to a doctor was the last time. And Mommy and I knew it, and the doctors just thought it was a matter of time, and the lungs were filling up with fluids as well, and was gasping like...
Oh, my God.
And
Erica,
and just couldn't catch the breath. Cheyenne says, Sebastian, who?
Wow.
Cheyenne says, for the first time, I get Mommy to myself.
Because for the last year,
Mommy hasn't been saying Cheyenne. For the last year, Mommy has been saying Sebastian. And Cheyenne is happy. Mommy and I and the family are happy that Sebastian is no longer in pain. And Mommy explained to me that Sebastian had to go to heaven because she didn't want him to be in any pain. And I comforted Mommy when she cried. She and I spent the whole night together, and I comforted her. And I am the best dog anybody has ever seen in their whole entire life. Cheyenne says,
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to Erica on this topic because we're both dog lovers. We're both hosts on this network. And she had discussed the fluids in the lungs and the whole thing with the dogs.
Yeah.
And I have to say that, yeah, I understand how you feel, Erica.
Yeah, thank you so. Okay, and I'm sorry that we have, it's also been very, 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 it also has been, it wasn't long ago that this happened because, and I also want you to know that if you weren't a great mom, you wouldn't be feeling like this. You were a great mom. And Sebastian is talking from heaven, and Sebastian says, you just told Cheyenne I have the biggest wings you've ever seen on a dog. The biggest help, Cheyenne. I have the biggest wings, angel wings, you've ever seen on the dog.
That's awesome.
Oh, God. And Sebastian says, Mommy got either a photo or a painting done of me and Cheyenne together, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And Mommy now has an urn with me in it and my name or my picture on it. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, we have a picture, and it's a special memorial plaque that my husband made, and I got the speakerphone on, and he's listening right here.
Oh, that's Daddy. That's Daddy. Daddy carried me at the end. Daddy carried me.
Oh,
in the blanket, remember? And Daddy says that we agreed that when I stopped eating or I stopped getting up, it was going to be time to go. All of us talked about it. And then Daddy said it was time to go, and we went into the car. We did not go into the truck. We went into the car, and we went.
Erica?
Yeah.
Is this, what can you...
Oh, God, I don't even know what to say. I'm just sort of, you know, what you do is such a blessing. That's all I can say. Oh,
I agree with that. And you know what? For anyone who's listening that says, I'm not really sure, I don't buy it or whatever, what I'll say to you right now is, there are things that, and you know what? I haven't met this person. I don't know this person. I just called in tonight. Yes, I'm on the network, but it has nothing to do with, because I'm the first person to say, oh, no, this is BS. Well, you pinned my dog down, and I've been IMing Mr. Montaldo, and evidently she has his dog down, and now Eric and I have spoken. No, but no, I know it's funny, but Eric and I has we've spoken about her dog,
yeah.
And I've been through it with her, and that's true too. And it's not true in the terms of, you know, whatever Erica is saying is true, but what I know from experience it with her, I know how true this all is. So I find that interesting, and I commend you.
I just wondered, I know I'm just going to throw this out there if I can, please. We did have, 10 years ago, we had a Rottweiler, China. They named her China. And
oh, China says, finally you're going to talk about me. I wasn't the dog. I was your daughter.
Oh, my God.
Mm. And China says there's more pictures of me than any of the other two dogs put together. And but Cheyenne wants to tell you that she has a little bit of a dry skin patch, and she says, thanks for doing something new with the food to help me with my skin. It's much better.
Oh, my God. You guys listening, I'm telling you right now, there's no way anybody could know this, and, I mean, it's amazing. It's not even...
And the skin patch is on, I think, the left upper hind quarter, if I'm not mistaken. I might be remembering, but it says on the left upper hand it was itching.
Oh, well, we did switch her. Yeah, we did do something different a little bit, just to make a long story short. It's really interesting because... Oh, man.
You're speechless.
Amazing, because animals are so important, and people just don't realize, a lot of people, I mean there's people like us that obviously realize, and then there's people that, that stupid dog, you know, won't learn to do this and that, because, of course, they're crappy owners or whatever, and they don't, you know,
absolutely.
Try that.
Absolutely. I just had this conversation with someone where I said to them, they always go, oh, my dumb dog or whatever. And I'm thinking, well, that's because you didn't put effort into it. Like, my dogs aren't dumb. But I would like to ask, all right, I had a black lab for 16 years who passed away. Is there anything from her?
And Stephanie, you're talking?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and what's the black lab's name?
Her name was Coco.
No, she says, my name wasn't, my name is.
Okay.
My name is Coco, not my name was Coco.
I stand corrected. Okay.
No, from the dog, not from me. Okay, I apologize to you.
Yes, she was bossy.
Coco felt that you and she healed each other. Coco felt emotionally that you and she healed each other. So you might have been going through a difficult time, or she was, because she said that you filled her out and you brought her back to health. She says twice, you brought her back to health. She says, when you got me, they didn't think I was going to come back to what I should have been, and I did.
I have to say something about that. How I acquired Coco was, there were kids throwing the black labs off the roof of a building.
Oh my God,
because she said I was abused. Yes, I was, and
yeah,
two legs were broken.
I went to the top of the building, and I stopped those children. And I took her and said, this is it. I'm going to fix this dog. And she was traumatized. And then I tried to find a home, and nobody was going to have her, so she became mine.
And she says that the one leg that she wasn't working well came back with you.
Yeah.
The one leg that wasn't working well came back. It came back to almost as good as new.
Yeah, she was hurt. She was abused. She was like, I have no idea what these people thought they were doing, but I stopped it, and her legs were bothering her when I got her.
And they thought that arthritis was going to set in, but it did not.
No, she lived 16 years, which is quite a feat for a black lab. And
she says that she used to wear bandanas.
She did, and she would have done anything. Just like my regular dog. Any dog I own will do what I'm doing, but...
Well, the difference is that she... I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
That's
I don't,
Shira.
When
I'm sorry, Shira.
Go ahead.
I had a beautiful red setter dog, and I'm going back probably about 26, 27 years ago, and her name was Kelly. And
oh, Kelly? Yes, Kelly's talking to me. Kelly is in heaven with Grandma and Grandpa.
Could you ask her where she went? Because she just disappeared and we couldn't find her anywhere. And
no, she says that she ran and ran and ran and ran and ran, and a family found her, and they didn't want to give her up, so they kept her. But she was about 2 miles. I don't know what that equation.
Yeah.
She was about 2 miles from your house. But what happened was, at a certain point, it went from town to very rural, almost like farmland. It went from like where there were houses close to each other, where the houses
yeah.
were no longer closer to each other, and she went up the hill, and they saw her, and that was it. And she was meant to be with that family, and she said, thanks for letting me go.
Because
thanks for letting me go.
At the time, I used to sell carpets, and I'd gone to a town called Stourbridge, which is about 15 miles away from where I lived, and this dog was being ill-treated by some people who lived a few doors away where I was with these carpets. And I went back with my wife at the time and rescued this dog. And she was called Rusty, and then we altered her name to Kelly.
Yes, well, what happened was, she says, those people weren't my parents. They said, here, take the dog. They didn't even want me. Here, take the dog. They didn't even want me.
That's the exact words I said. Yeah.
Here, take the dog. They didn't call me Rusty. They didn't say, take Rusty. They said, here, take the dog. And then the dog felt that he had a lot going on. The dog said the door opened. I went out. I kept on running. And the dog didn't feel like he could get back home. And the people got him, and they kept him inside, and they kept him on their property. And because it was such a big property, you would not have known about it, because it was a bigger property. Like, it went from the small town to the larger properties, and the dog ended up on the larger property. And what they said is, oh, who are you? And they took the dog, and I think that there may have been a child there, because I feel like the child fell in love with the dog, and they couldn't part the dog from you. So if there was a collar, they may have just even taken the collar off and said, oh, this is your new dog. And that was the end of that.
Sure. Can I ask you a question? Because this is from the chat rooms, and I'm sorry, Alan. I know you want to have some time with her, too. Everybody wants to have their share of Shira today. But this is from Cop in the chat room, and he has a question for you. Shira, can you explain how dogs walk hundreds of miles to get home, and how do they know which direction to go in, and how do they know the way?
Okay. First of all, this is my belief. You just take what you like and you leave the rest. I think that their guides or St. Francis lead them home, either St. Anthony or St. Francis. I'm just a firm believer that when a dog makes it that far away, that the person who the dog, who has lost the pet, the dog, is so distraught that the person or the person's prayers are answered and the dog is brought back home. And I don't hear it as the dog finds his way. I hear it as the dog was brought home. And when I ask the dog, the dog says, well, you just track back the way you went. You just come to a stop and you turn around and you go back the other way.
Okay.
It's really very simple.
Wow. So, Alan, so you believe, you know, for Alan's dog, a.k.a. Rusty, correct, Alan?
Kelly.
It was originally Rusty, but now it's Kelly, a.k.a.
That's
Kelly.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yes.
So in essence, when Kelly was going away, then really Alan was never meant to have the dog then, because I guess Kelly's guide should have brought him back, right?
No, no, no. Kelly ended up with another family, and the family fell in love with the dog, and the family kept the dog on their land. So even if they saw, even if Alan went looking for the dog, he wouldn't have found the dog. But the child fell in love with the dog, and the dog just said, thank you for thinking of me, and thank you for letting me go.
As long as she had a good life afterwards, that's all.
Yes,
that's all
she had a wonderful life afterwards, but she also had a wonderful life with you. I'm going to ask why she didn't come home, and I just feel like there wasn't an intervention. The Saints did not intervene with this, and Kelly says, and a little boy got to have a chance. A little boy who would never have had a dog got a chance to have a dog with me.
That's good.
Okay. Oh, yeah. A little boy who didn't have a dog got a chance to have a dog and got a chance to be loved by me, because these people had a really beautiful property, and the little boy...
What does Kelly say about the time that we lived by the sea and we went on the beach?
Oh, when I went in and I put my paws down and you said we're going in anyway?
He says,
you mean the time that I put my paws down and I said I wasn't going to go and we went in anyway?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Did you drag him in, Alan?
He put his paws down, and you dragged him in against his will.
But when she actually got onto the beach, she had a whale of a time, a really good time.
She liked to be on the edge. She did not want to go in all the way.
Well, Kelly was a dog that, when it was time to take her for a walk, that she just looked at the lead and... sat down and lay down, and you had to coerce her to go out. She didn't like to do a lot.
No, she said you would have to pull me out. Absolutely. So who's this, please? Yes, your name?
Stephanie.
I missed who's who. Erica, Stephanie, am I getting close?
I'm never going away. All right, so the host, Jess, tell us, do you have pets?
Me?
No, I'm allergic. Oh, Jesse.
Wait, who's allergic?
I'm allergic.
Shira's actually allergic to pets, which makes the whole thing crazy.
Okay, so Jesse, do you have pets?
No, I do not have any pets. I used to have pets, but until I had another house, I can't have pets right now. But I will.
Okay.
I'll get myself a little Scottish terrier.
The reason why I haven't is because... Anne and I do many miles going all over the UK helping people, and it wouldn't be fair to drag a dog all around the country, or it wouldn't be fair to leave a dog alone or for other people to look after. So that's the reason why we haven't got a pet.
Let's just wrap some of this up. Sure, I know a lot of people out there, after they hear this show, going to want to get in touch with you. And I know that you and I have been speaking for some time, and you've been working on this book for some time, and you've been working on a lot of different projects. So we only have 3 minutes left. Can you tell everybody out there all the stuff that you're working on so they can find you, so they can have closure, and they can do all the stuff that everybody else just got to participate with?
Sure. If you want to reach me, you can go on to Shira's Place, which is www.shiraspalace.com. You can also reach me in the States at 845-623-0880. I have a shop in Nyack, New York, and I'm open by appointment as well at my shop. I also obviously do sessions by phone and by Skype. And I also have a pet question and answer column in the New Jersey Herald, and you can reach me there by njherald.com/askshearer, and maybe if you send a question in there, maybe you'll see your question and answer in the newspaper as well. And the projects that I'm working on June 15th, I'll be in Manhattan at the Toyota Manhattan for the Maltese Pet Rescue, for the Maltese Puppy Prom, which is where they get dressed up in the dresses and the tuxedos, and they're going to have a puppy prom, king and queen. And I'm also working on self-publishing a couple of books that are at the editor as we speak.
All right. Well, I'm so glad that you finally got that out, because we have 1 minute left. And, Alan, where does this show go?
And that 2 hours.
I keep telling Joe we need a five-hour slot, but, you know, he's not hanging out. He's not doing that.
I'll have to turn into a night owl then, completely.
We'll get you plenty of coffee. Instead of that tea over there in England, we're going to get you some coffee, and that'll rouse you up a little bit.
All right.
But I want to let you guys know that we want to thank you so much for being us here tonight, if you're hearing in the United States. If you're up really late at night over there in the U.K., we thank you so much.
We do,
We also
yes.
want to thank you out in Australia, Japan, China, South America, Canada, and anywhere around the world that you are listening to. Know that we are here every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And next week, we have a doubleheader. We have John Holland, an A-lister, master out of Australia. We have Michelle Whitedove right after him. That's right, a three-hour slot, first time for the show. We are going to rock it out. And I want to tell you, if you don't get on the phones early, you are not getting in, period. I am telling you right now, because the press releases are coming out, and it's just already nuts. It's going to get sick here. Alan, please, I'm getting too crazy here. You got to take this out.
Right. Thank you, everybody, very much. I'm sorry for the problems I had getting on earlier, but it's great. Absolutely love it. I love doing the show with you, Jesse,
thank you.
Best co-host in the world. And we're going to be back next week. And, yeah, we're going to rock.
Thank you. And thank you, Stephanie, for coming on, too.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jesse and Alan. I appreciate it. It was great to be here with you guys.
And Shira, thank you so much for coming on the show. I am sure we'll have you again. And with that, we're saying goodnight to you across the world, and good night.
Why don't we wire this thing into Max? That way he'd be able to translate whatever it's trying to tell us in our own language. Not so?
Of course. Brilliant.
That way we'd know once and for all if this thing is friendly or not.
Precisely. The first time in history we'll be able to hear what a being from another planet is trying to communicate.
My God!
Dr. Stark, what do you think it's trying to say to us?
We shall see. We shall see. Heady with anticipation.
I think we all are, Dr. Stark.
I'm a quiver with excitement.
All right, attention, everyone. For the first time in history, we may hear what a being from another world is trying to communicate to us. My God. Switch on the translating circuits.
I want to eat your face. It could just be so yummy. I'd like to have your face in my tummy. I want to eat your smile. Your smile is so beguiling.
I could eat your smile, I'd be smiling. Hey, I want to eat your arm. I want to eat your leg. So won't you please be nice people and don't make me beg. Let me eat those knees. Don't you tease me. I want to eat your face. I've got to eat your face. So let me eat that. I want to eat your face. I want to eat your face.
Listening to the show and wish to join us in the chat room, visit paltalk.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, this is Angela Thomas with a message about living life to the fullest. As a psychic clairvoyant, I often give insights to one's career path, financial situation, or relationship. Whether one is happy or not in their current situation, where he or she is right now is an important part of learning valuable lessons that can lead to fulfilling one's life purpose. If I can offer you insights, feel free to contact me at 636-278-2272. Again, 636-278-2272, or visit my website, angelathomas.org. I'm considered a psychic, so I provide accurate and detailed psychic readings for individuals as well as groups. Remember, no matter what influences your life at the moment, live life to the fullest. Stay in gratitude, count your blessings, and prepare yourself for more opportunities around the corner. I'm Psychic Angela Thomas, and my website is angelathomas.org.
Hey everybody, this is Erica Getch, and I want to keep you connected every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Galactic Connection. As always, I'll be taking your calls in the second hour, and as always, TGC is glad to be a part of the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, so please check out tgcradio.com. Hope to see you there.
born on psychic medium Christopher George, and along with my co-host Victor the Voice Furman with Second Sight NYC. Victor, who do we have as a guest this week?
Chris, our guest this week is Chetan Parkin, author, seminar leader, and the world's most successful proponent of a system called Human Design. It draws from astrology, the chakra system, the I Ching, and Kabbalah to help us discover who we really are and what our true purpose is. He's the author of the book, Human Design, Discover the Person You Were Born to Be.
Victor, after they designed me, they broke the mold.
Whoa, did you hear?
Listen to the Church of Mavis radio show, hosted by Jeffrey Pritchett, 11 p.m. Eastern, Saturday nights.
Follow your weird and journey into the high strange. Be sure to stop by
www.churchofmavisradio.com
for upcoming shows, paranormal news, and show archives. That's
www.churchofmavisradio.com. Hey!
Hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Tune in to the Mind Cemetery with your hosts, Chip and Nicole, every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway, mindcemetery.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news. But you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.